What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, the 2016 and 2017 recipients of the Exotic Dancer Publications DJ of the Year Award, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
Welcome to Behind the Curtain, a What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. We are found on all major streaming platforms, or you can go to our website, www.whatshotitsc.com. I'm your host, Alon Fong, and on today's show, I have part two of my interview with lead guitarist, songwriter, producer, record label executive, session musician, hot sauce aficionado, and DIY master, all-around great guy, Ron Bumblefoot Thal of Guns N' Roses, Art of Anarchy, Sons of Apollo, and Whom Gods Destroy. We'll kick things off where we left it on our last episode. Please enjoy, and thank you for listening. Now, here's the interesting thing, if you don't mind getting into this. Now, I had no idea this happened. So after I met you, you got in a major car accident.
Oh, I was stopped. I was at a red light. There were a bunch of cars in front of me. I was the last one in the row of stopped cars. And I see I look in my rear mirror. Remember the old cartoons where you see like a train coming at you?
Yeah.
So it was this like speeding SUV. Uh-oh. And it's like getting bigger and bigger in my mirror. It's like, this motherfucker's not slowing down.
Yeah.
And just slammed into me, the whole accordion thing of like four cars all squished. And I took the big hit of that and then the car in front of me, and my skull just got banged around. And at the time I was like, all I remember from it is watching that happen and just saying, this is gonna suck.
And I've been there.
The hit, then I remember it was almost like when you see a film that slows down on the reel and stops.
Yeah,
totally. It was like that in gray, black and white. And I just remember seeing my hair fling forward and chunks of glass fling forward. That ends like this slowing motion and nothing. Then I just remember, like, I don't know, it couldn't have been that long, but open my eyes and the car is just filled with powdery smoke from all the airbags that went off. And the first thing I did is I just felt my legs to make sure that they were not like broken or anything. Pried open the door and got out and stood up. And I remember my knees, like my shin bones felt like they were hit with a bat. And I just like leaned over and just stood up. I remember the parking pass on my passenger side rear window was still attached to the glass about 15 feet away on the ground. The keychain that my key was attached to, like, you know, a regular metal spiral keychain, hit so hard that the key was still in the ignition. The keychain like broke and the keys were like on the floor. Like, this was a serious hit. Yeah. I thought I was okay. I obviously wasn't, but the power of adrenaline
is amazing.
So I just stood up, I walked over, and the lady just sees my car, which is like an accordion, and she's just like, oh. And I just yell, it's like, what the fuck were you thinking? You know, just like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. After all of that and cars getting towed away and everything, and I'm just looking for my things, and my brain obviously wasn't right. And I just started walking home. I was about 5 miles away from home.
Okay.
Because my brain wasn't right. I just started walking home.
I can't believe they let you walk away from the accident like that.
Well, first there was the ambulance there and everything. Okay. Wanted to get everyone checked out and asked me, he said, do you want to take a ride? Do you want to get checked out? Me not being my right mind is like, no, I'm fine. I was not fine, but they should have just said, you're not fine. You need to get checked out. But then the police drove me home, but they could only drive me to a point.
In there,
they said that, you know, it's beyond our county from there. So that's all right, I'll walk. And I just started walking along Route 1, like, for miles. And I told my wife, I called her, I said, I got in a car accident, I'm on Route 1 walking home. And she came around and got me. And then walked into the house. And as soon as I just hit, like, the stairs, I just kind of just lied down on the floor, like half on the stairs, and just lied there. Days later, I couldn't raise my arms and I couldn't make fists. Like, I couldn't close my hands.
That's scary.
And I was just dazed. Car was, you know, of course, totaled. and had to get all new keys. I don't even remember where my keys
Cares
went.
about the
Like, I
keys,
might
Ron.
have just
Come
left them.
on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, keys to
I get it.
everything, my house, my studio, and
You're
everything. And I
alive,
was like, all right, I have to get all new. And then things started getting
though.
weirder and weirder. Started doing physical therapy, and but what I noticed was, for about 2 months, if you asked me a question where it had to be like an A or B answer, it was like I hit a wall that I was trying to walk through and couldn't. It'd be like, "Do you want the steak or the chicken?" Say, "I'll have the." And it was almost like a pause button where I couldn't.
Wow.
There was definitely some
Hiring.
brain shit
Yeah.
going on, and I was talking very slurry. After a week, that's when the pain kicked
Wow.
in. The only way to describe it, and it lasted about a year, was imagine someone taking like a 1-inch drill bit on a drill and drilling a hole in the bottom of your neck, top of your back, just keeping it in there and just keeping it on and pouring hot wax into the
Oh,
hole
God.
for a year. Like, there were days where all I could do is just stand against a wall and hit the back of my head into a wall just to like try and
Distract you.
divert the pain to something else, and just couldn't live. And
Wow.
I was doing a lot of physical therapy for months, and I needed to keep going with it. But there was a tour coming up that I told them I couldn't do, sort of stupidly ended up doing it, and damn near almost killed me. Or I should say, damn near almost killed myself.
Yeah.
But that was a very big mistake,
Now,
doing that.
so you sort of self-medicated during
Also,
the tour, is what you're saying then.
that's all I could
Yeah.
do, is just keep a bottle of Jägermeister in one hand and 16 Advil in the other and whatever else, just to survive each day. But before that, here's what's weird, is that about 2 weeks after the accident, something happened where if I didn't eat like a huge sandwich, my brain would shut down and I would be like asleep and dribbling. It could happen even when I was driving. Like, I had to keep a huge bag of food with me, where for whatever reason, I would start getting this weird feeling. If I didn't eat a shitload of food
Right.
immediately, within 5 minutes, it's like my brain
Shut
was
down. Yeah.
asleep.
Wow.
And that lasted for a couple of weeks. And then after it all, my personality changed, where suddenly I liked broccoli, was like my favorite food.
Bob broccoli.
But some scary shit, where it was like all the emotional connections I had from that point on didn't quite exist anymore.
Wow.
And it was like having to rebuild that. It was some weird, fucked up shit. So went on for a year of doctors just injecting and pilling and doing whatever they can to put a band-aid over the problem instead of treating the actual wound. I couldn't put a guitar on me or take it off of me because I couldn't move my arms that way.
So you had to have the roadies help you, or
Yeah, they would have to put on my guitar
you
and
could
take it
still
off.
play, luckily.
I could play, but there were times where I was so out of it and so screwed up that I'd be like falling over as I played, and I had to like sit it out for a minute, but just tried my best to get through it. I don't know if anyone there really realized just how bad it actually was.
Did you tell them even what was going on, or no?
Oh, what you realize about people is, unless they're wearing the shoes, they have no fucking clue. And that's for anybody
Okay.
about anything.
That's fair.
They can't even imagine what something is unless they've worn the shoes. And that's pretty
Right.
much anything with anyone about anything, is the truth. You could be there and you can
Yeah.
support people for what they're going through, but you have no fucking idea what they're actually experiencing unless you've walked in those same shoes. So I don't think anyone really got it, and you can't expect them to.
Yeah, I understand that.
Unless they have a drill in their back for a year, they're not going to get it
Yeah.
and know just how much you're clinging to just life.
Hang on. Yeah.
And finally, after it all, the one thing that actually saved me, and I never thought it would be that, is I went to this one doctor who's a friend of another doctor who I'm good friends with, and said, "See this guy? He's, a legit doctor and all, but he also does, I guess, what you could call like anti-aging wellness medicine, which is just getting you into the optimum shape that you could be in. It's not all about exercise. A lot of it is nutrition." So this
Diet,
guy,
yeah,
he
for sure.
took vials and vials of blood and just checked out everything and came up with what I needed to eat, when I needed to eat it, when I should exercise, and like this whole religious regimen that I swore by. In 3 weeks, all the bloated weight started dropping off, the pain started
Wow.
going away, and it saved my fucking life. It's the only thing that worked because I was so blown up. Because also they were giving me, like, one doctor like injected tons of steroids into me, plus oral steroids. So I was loaded up with steroids.
Which makes you balloon up.
Yeah, so within 2 weeks I put on 20 pounds. Also, in 2 weeks I put on 20 pounds, and I was, in these volatile touring situations, I was getting real actual roid rage, where
Oh, wow.
I was completely unaware of what I was doing, and I was experiencing something else in my head than was actually happening. Like, I remember the head of security. I love this guy, Gio. Wonderful guy. I had so much respect for him and just such a good dude. At one point we got off stage and I remember putting my hands on his shoulder saying, like, we gotta do something about this, like talking about something as I got off stage. Turns out I actually had him by the shirt, grabbing his collar and was yelling it at him. And in my head, I didn't think that was happening. I still, like, don't forgive myself for that.
How did he react?
Well, he didn't kill me, which is good.
Probably could have
Because he
been
certainly could
security.
have. And just things like that. Like, I remember like yelling at somebody just because there was this like hanger-on that was such an asshole that was just being so rude to family and the band, and he was just pissing me the fuck off. So I was really getting fed up with him doing stuff and disrespecting my wife and everything. And I remember yelling at one of Axel's people, just about it, just saying, enough. But as I was saying enough, I remember, like, in this mental haze of anger, him saying, "Stop pushing me." And I'm thinking to myself, "I'm not pushing you. I'm not even touching you."
But you are apparently.
And supposedly, I put my fist through a wall of, like, not a cement wall, but like just like some like structured backstage, makeshift thing. Yeah.
Well, brain trauma is no joke, man. They say it can change. I mean, look at the CET stuff with football players where they go homicidal and suicidal and
Yeah.
So I imagine your brain was experiencing some of that sort of thing, I guess.
I was so roided up just to try and, just strengthen pain, and it's not what I wanted. I was just trusting, typical doctors that don't treat the problem and just say, well, let's just drug him up and send him on his way. And that's what they were doing to me for a year. It was just making things worse and worse. It wasn't fixing the problem. It was just putting just more and more of a coat of toxic paint over the problem. Yeah, finally, it was this one doctor that I went to by recommendation of a friend that figured out what I really needed to be at my healthiest. And for me, it was like, well, you need to start eating more red meat because you're iron deficient, and you need to do something about your cortisol, which is through the fucking roof, and you got to start taking this DHEA. You need to come to grips with all this stuff. You need to start reading some serious self-help shit because you're suicidal and you're angry and, you're going to kill somebody soon.
Not a surprise with all the pain you're in. I mean, I know cortisol is related to pain, so your body's reacting to all the pain you're in, right? That creates emotional distress. Obviously, if you're constantly in pain, you're going to be enraged. Obviously, it's fight or
Yeah.
flight type stuff because pain creates that.
And then to give me a shitload of roids. So, like, it was just like the worst scenario. I had to get that straightened out, and this doctor just, let food be thy medicine. That's what did it. 3 weeks of eating the right things and being very strict about it, getting sleep and taking different supplements. Sleep is huge.
Sleep,
yes.
Is the, they say one of the most, and I'm horrible about it, but one of the most important things for overall health, mental health, physical
Absolutely.
Health, because it's your time for your body to recover and heal and process subconscious stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. More happens in those, you accomplish more in those 8 hours of downtime. Like, you're better off having 16 amazing functional hours awake than 20 shitty hours awake. Yeah. So I really started prioritizing all of that. And in 3 weeks, the pain dropped to a point that I could actually like
be human,
think and function and not be insane. That was quite an interesting little vacation in hell.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And well, first of all, I'm so thankful that you found the help you needed to get, because everything you just shared is not the Ron I would know at all. You are the most kind-hearted, sweet human being, like I said at the beginning of the show, one of them that I've met. And so those behaviors, had I seen, I'd have been like, yo, what is up, Ron? But B.
Yeah, I was all drugged up and I was in constant pain. Like, you're not going to be your best you in that scenario. Nobody
can't.
Will.
You can't be. It's impossible.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have been on tour.
Yeah.
I should have been home. It wasn't helping.
So your neck now is okay, though? Like, or is there still some, like, I have chronic neck from a car accident I was in about 5 years ago now.
You know, yeah. Like, it's always there. You just try not to think about it and you just get on with your life. And sometimes it flares up more than other times, but it's just always there.
It's manageable now.
Just, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Good.
Well, I mean, it's not perfect. You know, I've had to, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've walked the shoes. So I don't even have to tell you, you know,
not to the extent you did, thank God,
but you know, the little things like sleep positions and posture in front of a computer and this and that and all the, you know, the good days and the bad days and, and just getting past it. Yeah. But life happens.
Amen, brother.
The way I look at it is at the time is like, all right, I got 41 years without losing a limb or anything major. That's a pretty damn good run. That's how I looked at it. And if anything, I came out of it better because, you know, those experiences definitely add to you in different ways. You know, you could be angry at the world. Yeah. Why me? Blah, blah, blah. Fuck that. No, it's about, I started really getting into Stoic philosophy and it made me a better person. I started getting, you know, you get a better understanding and more empathy towards things once you've actually experienced some things. You have to walk in a lot of shoes.
Absolutely.
In this life, and it makes you a better person. And not all the shoes are meant to be
easy,
you know, full of, yeah, exactly. Like, we're supposed to be challenged. That's part of life. It makes you stronger. Yeah, it makes you stronger and it makes you better if you choose that path from it.
Yeah. We learn the most from hard times, without a doubt.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm going through some stuff now, but I'm also realizing in the moment of what I'm learning and where I'm growing. Like, it's hard now, of course, but this too shall pass, as George Harrison would say, right? And
mm-hmm.
You know,
all things must
pass.
Yes.
So, you know, you get to the other side a brighter light than you were going in. Oftentimes,
we'll take a short break and be right back with Ron Bumblefoot Thal right after this.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
We are back with Ron Bumblefoot Thal on Behind the Curtain, a What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
The thread for me about Ron Thal is that you have a drive and a focus that, and a willingness to share, and that's part of teaching, right? That teaching thread that you've talked about. It served you through your music career, through overcoming things like the car accident and the pain and the cancer. We don't even have to go into that. I think the accident kind of sums up your philosophy and what happened there. And I think teaching in general, I learn so much when I teach. I've taught boxing and kickboxing to other people, just like my bouncers when I was at the club. And it makes you a better communicator because every person learns and hears differently. So you have to learn to change your message for every individual so that they are able to receive the information. And by the same time, you're receiving information back from their feedback and from their genesis and growth as well, right? And so that teaching is such a powerful thing. And I think if people grab onto that, like, hey, I've reached certain levels of whatever my profession or passion is, and if I can share that, like you said, pay it forward and share it with other people with similar interests, it not only impacts the student, but I would argue it almost impacts the teacher more because there's so many more levels to it from a teaching perspective.
Yeah, I always think of it like, just picture a 3D object you're holding. Every time you teach, you're looking at it from a different angle and you get to know it more. Yeah,
for sure. So let's dive some more back into the music here. What made you do the fretless sort of guitar style? That's such a unique signature thing, I think, to you. I literally don't know any other guitarists who regularly play a fretless guitar. I can't think of anybody. Tony Franklin's the only musician I can think of, unless you're a violinist or cello player or something. Obviously, they don't have frets, but in rock, certainly. So how did that sort of come about?
It's not the most common thing. When I was a teenager, I would experiment a lot with guitar deconstruction, reconstruction, destruction.
You build your own guitars like Eddie Van Halen did? Is that sort of the to get your sound, your brown sound?
Yeah, Eddie Van Halen, he gave every guitarist the permission slip. It's like, here, you can now be you.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of experimenting and exploring, and I would do all kinds of weird shit. I would rip the frets off a guitar and put a bunch of coins on it and shave down the size and fill it with some homemade kind of filler goop of shavings and epoxy and whatever, and make a weird surface to play on to see how it would sound.
Wow,
I would take a second guitar neck, make my own double neck, and just like route out the bottom horn of a Stratocaster and put a little mini neck in there that would refret to be an octave higher with a little DiMarzio pickup and rewire it. And I would just make all these weird concoctions of guitars, and I sucked at it, but it was fun. It was just another artistic expression. My main guitar was one that I drilled holes in and painted it yellow and made it into this thing that looked like a chunk of Swiss cheese. It was the Swiss cheese guitar. So for years, that was my main guitar that I did everything with, all my early albums, recorded and toured with it, just that one Swiss cheese guitar. In 1997, I was doing a clinic tour around France. This guy with a guitar in a case is there, and he's a rep of this company, this French company called Vigier, V-I-G-I-E-R, named after the owner, Patrice Vigier.
Okay.
And he asked me if I would try the guitar. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not looking for any guitar endorsements. I build my own things. I play my own things. And he's like, just try it. So I tried it and I played it, and my God, did this thing play nicely. It played so much better than anything I could attempt to build. And I realized when you do it all yourself, you're not always doing yourself a favor. There is a time that you should let people that are way better than you at it do it. Don't try and be everything and do everything. If anything, you're better off building a strong team.
Yeah.
Do what you do best and things that no one else can do.
Yeah.
But when it comes to guitar building, there are people that do it way better. I realized at that moment, okay, I need to stop building my own guitars and focus on, you know, the things that I should be doing and let the pros do that. So I became an endorsed artist with Vigier Guitars. Okay. And part of the deal was they would make all my weird guitars for me. Awesome. So they would still make weird guitars that we would come up with together. Uh-huh. Like they took my first album cover, The Adventures of Bumblefoot. It had this, it looked like a human foot. It was kind of Monty Python-ish. It had this, it looked like a human foot with stripes on it, bee wings on the side. So it was like half bee, half foot, Bumblefoot. They made a guitar that looked like that, where if you bent down the vibrato bar, mm-hmm. which is this bar for non-guitarists out there, it's a bar that when you push it down, it takes the bridge that the strings are connected to and pulls it forward so that the pitch of the strings goes lower. So those dive bomb sounds you hear a guitar do, like, and those kind of things, or the Pac-Man sounds.
Yeah.
That's all from that bar. Well, when you bend down the bar, wings would pop out of the sides of this guitar. Like, it was incredible what they made. And the thing sounded really good. It played wonderfully. It felt so good on the fingers. They are such an amazing company.
All right.
So we went to the first NAMM show together, mm-hmm. which is the big gear convention that happens every year in California. Yeah. So we went there and they had all these fretless guitars hanging up with these metal necks.
Okay.
And my eyes got all big, like I'm looking at candy. I'm like, why didn't you tell me you made these? And I remember Patrice, he just looks up at the sky and lets out this big sigh.
Uh-oh.
And he says, the company, in the last 18 years of this company's existence, we have sold 4 of them. Nobody wants these fretless guitars. Nobody. I was like, I do. Give me. And they gave me one to take home. Yeah. And I immediately started writing with it and making it part of what I do. And it became a bigger and bigger part. Reached the point where I felt like I couldn't choose anymore between having to play fretless or fretted for a song and then have to change guitars. I really wanted to access both where I could use both in the same song. So in 2009, they started making the Signature Series double neck that had the fretted neck on bottom, fretless on top. I used that with Guns. I used it on Chinese Democracy for all the sliding stuff in the title track and things like that. And for all my music and for every band that came since, Art of Anarchy, Sons of Apollo, Whom Gods Destroy, my own music, everything. It is my go-to guitar. And there's another thing about the guitar, which is there's on the bottom horn mm-hmm. of the body shape, there is a hole with a magnet inside it. There is a metal thimble, you know, just a little sewing finger cap that is in that hole that you can just grab. And I keep it on the smallest finger of my picking hand. And what I do with that, and this is something I've been doing since I was a teenager, is I use it, I touch it against the string. It extends the range of notes beyond the fretboard. Wait. Because when you're playing the string, when you play on the string, you are shortening the length of the vibrating piece of string toward the bridge. The higher the notes get and the shorter the string gets, the higher the note is.
Right.
But once the neck runs out and you don't have those metal frets to press the string against, you're out of notes and it stops there. Hmm. And I wanted the notes to continue. So instead of pressing the string against the metal frets on the neck, now I can take this metal cap and touch it to spots after the fretboard on the string, and you hit it just right and the string resonates and you have higher notes. So that's how I would get an extended range on the guitar. And what I could do is I could also play the fretted notes and hold the thimble in front of the bridge. So it's shortening the length of string from that direction as well. So it makes the notes that you're playing higher instead of being the normal pitch of those notes that you're playing on the neck.
So where your fingers are on your left hand, where you're playing there isn't necessarily the notes you're playing anymore that are coming out.
Right, the pitch is now higher.
Cut it off, so to speak.
Because I've shortened the length of string from the other direction. So
this is wild.
This is something that I do just normally, and it's just part of my shtick.
Well, so yes. You must have had for years guitarists come backstage like, How are you playing those high? Because it's not like you can see the thimble probably, because people are watching your picking hand and your
Yeah.
fretting hand, right? Is that the right term? Fretting hand? I'm not a guitarist.
Yes.
That is
Yep,
wild,
picking
Ron.
hand, fretting hand.
Yeah. Okay. That is dope, man. Thank you.
So between that and the fretless, that's become just part of, that whole thing we were talking about at the beginning, where you just be the most you can be,
Yeah.
and don't be shy about it. Whatever makes you, whatever ideas you have, whatever you find interesting, whatever is a way that you can express yourself, do it.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about some of your projects. I just want to, we won't talk about these, but I wanted to mention Art of Anarchy. That was a band you created, and you had some major league singers with you. You had Scott Weiland on the first one. We won't get into that drama. I've read into that a little bit. And Scott Stapp. But Weiland obviously is a wildly creative. He's no longer with us, of course, due to his personal issues.
Sadly.
Scott Stapp has
Yeah.
had many issues that have been publicly discussed ad infinitum. But you, who's the current singer? Or because I know you just released a couple years ago a third album, or just recently,
Oh, actually, last
last
month
month.
we
Okay,
just
sorry.
released it. Yeah, February 16th, we put out album number three. That is with the singer from the band we had together, Sons of Apollo, which was like this progressive rock super group kind of
Yeah, it
thing. It
was.
was Portnoy on drums, Billy Sheehan on bass, Eric Sherinian on keys, and Jeff Scott Soto on vocals. And they were kind enough to let me tag along as
Are you kidding me?
well.
Stop, stop,
And
stop it.
so the band, we did two albums together and a live album and video and toured the world. And then Jeff started singing with from Sons of Apollo. He started singing with Art of Anarchy, and we made album number three that came out this past February. Now, coming up very soon, March 15th, will be the debut album of this band, Whom Gods Destroy, which is similar to Sons of Apollo, only just a little heavier. It's like we turned up the intensity knobs of everything, and that's with the keyboardist, Derek Sherinian. So it's like Sons of Apollo split off into these two bands. One that pre-existed with two other singers that did not work out. Now we have Jeff, who is just a wonderful
Yeah,
guy,
yes.
and he's a pleasure to be in a band with and just to be friends with. He's just a great guy. And he is fronting that band, and that's been wonderful.
Yeah, I got
And
confused on
then,
social media. I thought Whom Gods Destroy was the name of the song from the new Art of Anarchy because they came out so close together.
I know it's having both of these bands, just everything came together at the same time, where we're putting out videos and singles and album at the same time. It's,
A quick note about Jeff Scott Soto, your singer. So I met him, God, in 94 in Phoenix, Arizona, when he was with the Boogie Nights. He was the lead singer for the Boogie Nights. And they used to play Gibsons in Tempe, which I was a barback at. And I had my long blonde hair. I was trying to be a singer, right? And I'd moved out west. I made it as far as Arizona and got to know the band, all the guys in the band, because I was, working for the bar staff. And we were packed. Like for 4 years, there was a line around the building every Sunday night in Tempe to come see the Boogie Nights. They are a hell of a live band. They're all really talented musicians and really cool. But I got to the point where I knew the songs and knew them. And I used to get up and sing on backups when they did their Play That Funky Music medley. Have you ever heard? Do you know anything about the Boogie Nights? Okay. So I used to always get
So
up.
I didn't realize that you were involved. That's the thing about music. There's always just like one degree of separation between
I
everyone.
don't know if he remembers me. I haven't seen him the last time I saw him. So then they eventually got a residency at the Rio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas as the Boogie Nights, playing their big theater. And I was in Vegas one time and I was just up in front and waved and saw him. And they're like, oh shit, what are you doing here? And they actually let me jump up even on that stage and sing with them on the backups, which thanks guys, because that helped me hook up with a really hot blonde that I was drinking with in the crowd. So thank you. Because then she's like, well, who are you? Because I had the long hair. And I'm like, I'll let you figure out who I am, but my name's Elon. She thought I was somebody. Anyways, this is back in like nine, I don't know, 2001. So I don't even know if Jeff will remember me, certainly not without the hair. But please tell him
Bet
I
you
said
would.
hello.
As soon as we disconnect, I'm going to hit him up. I'm going to tell him about
Yeah,
this.
very cool.
And I guarantee he'll remember you.
So if you guys come on tour, I would love to see you guys, man. I hope you guys are able to tour with Whom Gods Destroy and play Ohio, somewhere in Ohio.
I was hoping we would. We have, well, with Art of Anarchy, with Jeff, that we have a tour coming up end of this month. And we're doing Midwest, but we're not getting to Ohio. I was hoping we would. We're doing around Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Okay. Is not horribly far, but I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit far. We're doing Detroit. We are doing Detroit.
Yes,
to go around the lake. Okay. But we're doing Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, I was hoping
I'll try. I'll have to look at the dates and try and get up there, man, and try and check you guys out. That would be a blast. But so, where can they? I assume on every major streaming platforms, and Whom God Destroy, Art of Anarchy. Do they have websites for them or socials? How do you want to promote that to everybody?
Yeah. So Whom Gods Destroy, keeping it very simple. Everything is WG Destroy to make it easy to remember. And you don't have to worry about who or whom or anything else. Then it's not too long. WG Destroy. So anything on social media with that, you'll find us. For Art of Anarchy, it's just Art of Anarchy Band on any social media, except for Twitter, because it was too long. So that one's just Art of Anarchy.
And it's Anarchy, A-N-A-R-C-H-Y, not A-N-A-R-K-Y, like the comic book character.
Exactly, C-H-Y.
Okay, just want to make sure. Very cool. And how about if people want to connect with you, Ron Bumblefoot Thal, anywhere? Do you have socials or a website or anything you want to share?
Mm-hmm. Anything Bumblefoot, you'll find me. Either you'll find a chicken's foot with a big wart in the middle, or the uglier thing.
And he will respond, even though he knew me. He responded very quickly. So you ready to have some fun? I do something at the end of my show with my guests. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So we do this thing that was made famous. Questions made famous by Bernard Pivot and James Lipton on Inside the Actor Studio. Ron Bumblefoot Thal, you are now on the hot seat. 10 questions with Bumblefoot. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Ron, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word? No.
Ooh.
I don't use it often enough, but it is the most important word, and it keeps you out of trouble, and it keeps you in control of your life.
Yes. Love it. I did a thing called Landmark Education, the forum, blah, blah, blah. And that's one of the things, exercises you did, is learn how to get no's out of people and say no. So very powerful. What is your least favorite word?
Cystoscopy.
Okay, please define. I don't know that one.
It is when a urologist shoves a camera up your penis hole to look around in your bladder.
You win the worst word or least favorite word competition by far. That is brilliant. Okay, number three. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Ooh, food.
What? Okay, it turns you on. Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself. Yeah. I love food, man. I won't lie.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite type of food? You know, like Japanese, like a French. Is there something? I mean, I love all food, but do you have something that gut goes ah?
Everything.
I agree.
I mean, anything from a good steak to good Korean barbecue to killer sushi to anything. Indonesian food is incredible. Thai food. Okay. Yeah. But anything.
Now, do you or your wife do the cooking more?
She's better at the cooking. I'm better at the eating.
Atta girl. Mm-hmm. Keep him in his place. Okay. What turns you off?
What turns me off? I would have to say extreme narcissistic personality disorder.
Yes.
Yeah, people that are just so inconsiderate of the people around them that they're just impossible to coexist with. Those kind of people. And there's a lot of that in the music business that you find, in the entertainment business. And it's really impossible.
And I think it's because they are the gravy train. And so from a young age, they are told yes and just cater to and enabled. That they become
right, so that everybody can
insufferable after a certain point.
They're
not used to not getting their way. Yeah. Everyone's favorite question, Ron. This is the big one. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite curse word?
Favorite curse word? Oh, damn. I'm trying to think of what I say the most. Cock smoking pig fucker.
That is unique. Cock smoking pig fucker.
Yeah.
Okay.
You cock-smoking pig fucker.
I like it. I'll have to put that in my vernacular. What sound or noise do you love?
When my cat is snoring, when he's curled up in a ball on my lap and I'm just hearing this tiny little snore out of him, just a little like, it's the quietest little thing. It's just like, every few seconds.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Adorable. Adorable. Yeah. What sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, I guess I could make the sound. You know, I guess anything kind of like, I go like that. Like my hell note would be just that sound never ending.
Mental note for when I edit the show, limiter. what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, there's a couple of things that I do besides the whole music thing. Like there's the hot sauce business and everything. Like if anything, I would pursue that full time.
Nice.
Yeah, because I have a hot sauce business, Bumblefoot's Hot Sauce. And I really neglect it more than I want to just because of this whole music thing. So
You're a hot sauce guy. You're not a musician, Ron. Stop it.
I know. The music is getting in the way of the hot sauce business. So
let me give you a testimonial. I would love to. I have the hot sauce. It is literally fire. So funny story. Ron was in town in Columbus to promote his hot sauce at a hot sauce show or a food thing, right? And he was in town. So I reached out to him like, hey, do you want to come in the club and say hi? Or can we get together for lunch? Whatever. He's like, yeah. He's like, hey, would you want to do a little promotion at your club with the hot sauce? I'm like, let me talk to my GM. So we made that happen. So we put his hot sauce in a bunch of our wings and gave that out. And like, he was gracious and took pictures with everybody, talked to everybody. And my cooks in my kitchen were all Latin guys, either Mexican or Colombian, and they're used to hot food. And I remember while they were making it and you were out shaking hands and kissing babies, they came up to me like tears in their eyes, like, oh my God, this stuff is so hot.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're used to hot food. They loved it though.
The hottest one is called Bumblefucked. And
that was the one. Yes. That was the one they tried. And they were literally like,
Yeah. It's not fit for human consumption. It's a pinhead, little tiny dot of it will heat up your entire body and mouth and everything for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
One drop of it will heat up an entire plate of food from mild to holy shit. It's really incredibly hot.
Yes, and the Bumblefuck is the one. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's the one they were crying. I remember they tried to get me to eat. I'm like, hell no, I'm not even going.
No.
Did one batch of wings for everybody. And it was funny watching the people eat it and then having to quaff down water. And then they were asking for milk. And like, it was funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the show hot ones.
All right. Where should they go to find your Bumblefuck? Okay. I should have done that earlier with it.
Well, you can go to Bumblefoot's Hot Sauce. .com. It's a terrible little website I made myself. Also, anywhere on social media, like if you do Instagram just Instagram and Facebook, go to Bumblefoot's Hot Sauce. Yeah. In the US, if you want to grab it real quickly, I have a short link. You know those bit.ly links? bit.ly.
Okay.
/, and then BF, like Bumblefoot, BF sauce. And it'll take you right to a page that has it. So there's the red, all-purpose, delicious, mild, yummy, everything sauce called the sauce. Yeah. Yes. Then there is a barbecue-y, cherry, bourbon, chipotle sauce, which is also mild and super flavorful. And that one is called Bumblicious. And then there is Bumblefucked. That one you buy for people you hate. That one is
evil. It is evil. It is. I got to tell you.
Yeah. The show Hot Ones, you know the show Hot Ones on
YouTube? Mm-hmm.
Well, the people that make that show, they did a blog. It's a company, First We Feast, that oversees it all. And they did a blog years ago, and they said that Bumblefucked is like the third hottest sauce in the world, they said.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's...
Congratulations.
That's impressive. For them to say it, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive, man. I love it. I got to get the barbecue sauce. Okay. Got two more questions left. What profession would you not like to do?
I could joke and say, be a musician. What would I not like to do? There's a lot of things I would not like to do. Let me think. What would I not like to do? All right. Well, going back to a previous answer, be a urologist that gives cystoscopies. Okay. And if I just have to pick one, I don't want to be the guy that has to shove the camera up people and be sorry.
Other people's penises. Yeah.
All right. So just... That's a lame one, but I could.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Right. Your urologist does not sound appealing to me either.
Well, actually, I have a wonderful one. He's a great dude, and he
and he knows you in a very, very
intimate level.
He does. Like, there's been a few times he's had to, you know, check the prostate, and he always apologizes. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. And every time he finishes, I look at him, I say, it's still better than a record deal.
And you will know. And, you know, I'm sure your wife likes him because he's like, even I don't want to go there. Exactly. For that stuff, right?
Like, you're doing it.
All right. The big one. This is a popular one as well. The last question. Ron, if heaven exists, what musicians would you most like to jam with or hear?
Oh, God. If heaven existed, I wouldn't even want to play with them. I would want to sit back and just watch them do their thing. And it would be all the greats, you know, everyone from, let's say you could have Chopin on piano. You can have Lennon. You could have Hendrix. You could have, I mean, God, there's so many. Chris Cornell singing, maybe even alongside Joplin. Yeah, I'm just thinking of a lot of.
Who's on drums? Of course,
Bowie, you know, has to be in there, and Prince just playing everything. And I mean, all the greats that we were blessed enough to know their music at some point, it would be a similar list to most. And I'm sure I'm forgetting like 100 names that I'll think of in 10 minutes. But I wouldn't even want to jam with them. I'd be like, I'm ruining this. Here, you just do your thing. Freddie Mercury, tons. Yeah, all the ones we all love and will continue to love.
Well, hey, man, that's it. You're off the hot seat. Those are 10 questions with Behind the Curtain. I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been a joy and a chance to get to know you a little bit better as a person. And we should do this again sometime. But thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. And hopefully we'll see each other face to face again. Yeah, the time goes so quickly. Hopefully
it'll
happen sooner than later.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Behind the Curtain, What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. You can find us on all major streaming platforms or our website, www.whatshotitsc.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot in the Strip Clubs with Danny Myers and Alon Fong, presented by Panda and Strip Joints Music. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.